Hello and welcome to our reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. This week we are looking at John chapter 6 verses 16 to 29, where we see two groups of people interacting with Jesus. And the response Jesus gives to these groups helps us to understand how we should love others like Jesus does. So last time we left the story with Jesus having fed a crowd of 5,000 men and of course many more women and children. This miracle took place during a time and place where hunger was a daily struggle. And so finding someone with the ability to multiply food would have been beyond amazing. And so it is no surprise that the crowds tried to make him king. Due to this, Jesus left their presence, heading up a mountain so that he could get away from the crowd to spend time with his Father in heaven. And so we rejoin the story at this point, as the disciples make their way across the lake, heading to Capernaum. So first I'm going to read from John 6, 16 to 21. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. So, Jesus is not with them as they make their way across the lake. While John doesn't explain it, the accounts given in Matthew and Mark of the same event state that Jesus had actually instructed them to get into the boat while he remained behind. The disciples set sail across the lake to Capernaum, but it was not good conditions for sailing. It was dark, there was a strong wind, and the waters were getting rough and difficult to navigate, especially in the small fishing boat that they'd be in, that would not have been stable or easy to manoeuvre. So I imagine at this point, the disciples were getting just a little bit anxious. While some of them were experienced fishermen, they also all would have heard and known stories of people who had been caught up in storms and died at sea. In Mark's account, he tells us that the disciples were straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And Matthew comments that the boat was being buffeted by the waves. And so it's into this scene of fear and anxiety that Jesus walks. And he does quite literally walk as he casually walks across the surface of the water. Just stop and consider that for a moment. The disciples are battling the wind and the waves, trying desperately to row themselves across to safety. And there Jesus is, just walking calmly across the raging seas. And so it is hardly surprising that the disciples were frightened. By now, their initial anxiety must have ramped up into full-on terror. The other Gospels even comment that the disciples thought Jesus was a ghost. I think this picture of fear is something we can all probably relate to, even if we have never been in a boat during the middle of a storm. Sometimes we find ourselves in the metaphorically stormy seas of life, feeling as if we are in the dark and that Jesus is not with us. But as we see in the encounter with the disciples, even though Jesus wasn't in the boat with them, he was aware of what was going on, and he walked towards them, speaking those beautiful words, "It is I, don't be afraid." In Jesus, we can find peace and safety. This doesn't mean that we will never face trouble, but it does mean that we are never alone. Jesus walks with us and holds us tight. This sense of security that we have in Jesus needs to be shared with those who don't know it. In our world, we have both a growing understanding, but also a growing sense of it, of the impact of fear and anxiety that it has on our mental health. We sense that real terror that can hold us back. We recognise the need that all humans have to feel secure and protected. And yet for so many people, they do not have the wonderful assurance of the presence of God with them. So many people live in a near constant state of fear and anxiety. We can show love towards these people by introducing them to Jesus and allowing them to hear God's invitation of love. We can teach people about the power of prayer, demonstrating the faith we have in God as we pray for people regarding the things that they are anxious about. Jesus is with us by the Holy Spirit living in us, and he gives us security and a peace which transcends understanding. But he is not to be taken for granted or treated frivolously. We need to respect Jesus as God. Ultimately, Jesus wants us to love him and to have a relationship with him, and not just to treat him like a genie who will grant our wishes. And we see this as Jesus and his disciples get off the boat at the other side of the lake. So I'm going to read the rest of the passage, John 6, 22 to 29. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realised that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realised that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." People from that crowd of 5,000 that Jesus fed realised that Jesus and his disciples were no longer around. So they took boats of their own to find Jesus and follow him again. Now, if we took that at face value, we might think, great, people were choosing to follow Jesus. That's fantastic. But of course, Jesus knew their hearts. He knew their motivations. When they find Jesus again, Jesus knew that they had followed him for the wrong reasons. "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Because we know that God provides generously and graciously, there's a temptation sometimes to come to Jesus, not out of love, but out of a desire for things, or perhaps even out of greed. Jesus knew that the crowds had found him again because they wanted more free food. But he also knew that physical food would only provide a temporary fix for their hunger. They needed spiritual food as a permanent solution for the hunger, not of their bodies, but of their souls. And so Jesus explained, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." He wanted the crowds to realise and to recognise their need for God. But the crowds didn't understand. What must we do to do the works God requires? They were still focused on how they could gain what they wanted. They didn't seem to realise that God's grace is a gift, not something that we work for, but something God gives because he loves us. All we need to do is believe in Jesus. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. God provides comfort and security, but he does also want our genuine commitment belief and love. He wants us to truly follow him and not merely play lip service or keep up appearances. It's easy sometimes to slip into the position where we treat God as a place to go to get what we want, instead of continuing to build a loving relationship with him. Relationships take work, open communication, and love. And this is what God wants from us. How are we loving God in the same way he loves us? We've been thinking about how to love others as Jesus does, but our ability to love others is directly connected to our love of God. Jesus loves with a supernatural, sacrificial love. And if we want to love others with that love, we first need to love God and build real relationship with him. He then pours his love into us, and it overflows through us into others. Amen.